Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague and friend, Richard Epstein. Professor Richard Epstein teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. Importantly, he's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, writing for Defining Ideas, looking at remarks by the Democratic nominee for the presidency, Vice President Harris, especially about how the government is going to reach into the economy and help the middle class so defined. And the concerns are the prices at the grocery store and the non-affordability of housing. Richard, a very good evening to you. You've written in Defining Ideas, and I want to begin in order of the remark the vice president made about price gouging. It's not especially an articulate remark. It's romantic. It reaches back 100 years to the idea that there were monopolies in America, trusts they were called, and they could set prices depending upon their greed. However, price gouging has suggested to many outside observers that the candidate is thinking about price controls, which of course is an echo of our youth of the wage and price control disasters of the early 1970s. How did you hear the remark price gouging, and what is to be done about a government that is going to reach that far in and change the price on a can of tuna fish? Good evening to you.
Yeah, well, I think it's a very nice question because his speech is extremely cagey, but ultimately frightening. Here's what she said. The first ever, that's always a bad word, federal ban, always bad, on price gouging, on food and groceries, setting clear rules of the road to make it clear that big corporations can't unfairly exploit their consumers to run up excessive corporate profits on food and groceries. Well, it's only limited to those two particular situations. But the question is, what counts as a ban is a fair question. And everybody who reads this thinks of this as a set of price caps that she's going to impose. Other people could say, no, it's not a set of price caps. We're going to ban the behavior, but only going to have selective ex post enforcement of what's going there. And so business goes on as it does until they pick out you as somebody with that. That last strategy is utterly useless because what you're talking about is an economy in which you have hundreds of different merchants. Nobody has any serious monopoly power. The margins that you start to see on groceries start to run around between 1 and 4%. If you start comparing that to what they make by the fancy computer companies like Apple and Google, their margins on profit are 25, 30%, largely because they have patented technologies that protect them from immediate competition. And that is justified at least in part on the grounds that you wouldn't get the technology unless you had the patent. But what you're talking about in the food business is an open-ended free market, and it's completely improbable to believe that there's any form of price gouging going on. There are price increases. And as people have said time and time, the first thing you look to in a price inflation situation is the expansion of the money supply. And that, of course, with the various acts that they did early on in the administration, the Inflation Reduction Acts and so forth, they just poured countless dollars into the situation. So even if the number of goods remained constant, there would be a very heavy inflationary pressure. But the Biden administration did worse. They started to impose all sorts of sector regulations, which reduced output. So what you do is you have not more dollars chasing the same number of goods. You have more dollars chasing fewer goods, which means that the inflation is going to be worse. It's slowly being bled out of the system, but it will never be to the point where the early increases in the Biden administration are not going to be impounded in the ultimate prices. So people are still feeling this. And what happens is, how do you start to deal with this? Well, the only way you can start to deal with this is to let open entry take place into these markets and then reduce the regulatory burden on those people who want to come in. And it turns out that if you go to the Biden administration, deregulation is simply not a word that's in their functional vocabulary. So the situation is going to start to persist in one way or another. I do think, in effect, that the situation is better than it might have been, but I put a lot of credit for that, on the willingness of the courts to strike down some of his more extreme excesses. So he didn't get the first round of student aid cuts through, and he's been blocked on the others. And it turns out another piece of very destructive legislation on covenants not to constrict, which Lena Khan put into place, saying you can't have them against, you know, 300 and 400 years of history. That was also struck down. And so one of the reasons we can't figure out just how bad the Biden policies are is because they're not allowed to take root in many, many cases, which means that their effects are more moderate than they would otherwise be. If Kamala Harris wins the next election and the distribution of judges becomes further to the left, what you're going to see is that that particular barrier is going to be weakened or removed, at which point the inflationary pressures will become large.
Richard, my understanding of the remark by the vice president is that it was an attempt to speak to the high prices in the store caused by inflation, and that inflation is driven by government spending. So I take this remark, we're going to stop price gouging, as a way of avoiding the facts of the matter.
It's basically an effort to put the blame on the private sector for the greed of the government.
And the vice president has not addressed that in any fashion, though I don't see any, there's no weighty argument anymore on the side of saying it wasn't the government spending. And what you just identified were two more attempts by Mr. Biden to spend money, which was the student get out of jail free card. Yes, that. And also he's interested in even more CHIPS acts, more industrial policy in which subsidies are passed out to favorite colleagues.
And also more taxes and regulation. One of the things that I've been working on as a lawyer has been the Inflation Reduction Act, in which they crow themselves over the ability to force quote-unquote voluntary price reductions on key pharmaceuticals. There's nothing voluntary about these things. The government has monopoly power.
And over that the is price capping. Yes, that is.
Yeah, and very steep price capping. And then you ask yourself, okay, you've cut these things out. What's going to happen to the next generation of innovative drugs? And this is a very urgent problem because as the American population ages, its need for new medicines will start to intensify itself, and conditions like Alzheimer's will become only more common rather than less common.
And what they're doing is the government will inherit the pharmaceutical industry because there'll be no profit in it.
There is that real danger. The question is just how far they're prepared to go. And there are always two schools of thought on this. One is they actually believe what they say. And so being tougher, they think, is going to make things better. And then it turns out to make them worse. And the other school is they're cynical. It has popular appeal. The Democratic base will tell you that price gouging arguments poll very, very well. So you make them in an election and then slowly you back off of them in practice when it turns out that they're not going to work. We're going to see the test of that when it comes to EVs.
Another unpopular matter. We have too little time to do all this.
Okay.
Rent control. I thought finally it had been solved and it was no longer growing. But I heard the remark by the vice president about subsidizing first-time homeowners as a form of the government reaching into the housing market, which means that prices will go up and there'll be shortages, correct? Isn't that what happens?
Well, what will happen is there's going to be two things. One is there's still very strong restrictions on new entry into the housing market, which creates the problem. And then you put the subsidies in and you have another version of the inflation story. There are more dollars chasing after fewer units. The question of who gets these subsidies is a great mystery, and it's not solved. It's up to $25,000, but they don't tell you how much below you go or why you go there. There are supposed to be preferences for some people. There's going to have to be some kind of administrative board. There are peculiar qualifications, and they don't do anything remotely like other people do when you're talking about loans. In fact, if you look at this program, you can't even figure out whether they're giving the money away or lending it at some particular rate of interest. The thing is completely uninformed, but you could stoke $25 billion into an economy by using this kind of thing. I mean, this is just a very big sort of program that they're putting into place, and they have no idea of the way in which this thing is going to work. And so it's a It's a kind of ultimate irresponsibility. And I think what's going to happen is it will be used to get the people elected, but I don't think they're going to be able to execute it. There is, I think, more resistance to generalized tax increases, which hit the public at large, even rich people. But it trickles down to other people as well. $400,000 keeps shrinking. And generally, people much prefer doing regulation to try to get their way because it's a little bit more invisible. And I can say with some degree of confidence, this current Supreme Court is not particularly keen on either taxation issues on the one hand or regulatory issues on the other. They're much more concerned with separation of powers issues and the distribution of powers, the use of executive orders, the role of the administration of the state and the like. And so much of this stuff will be extremely difficult to topple inside the court.
And Richard, just a note here, what they strike me as having in common, the price gouging remark and the subsidies for first-time homeowners, is that this is the federal government, a great big entity, reaching into neighborhoods, reaching into families, reaching into grocery stores, and exercising authority that can't be refuted.
That's it's half right. Price controls have always been done at a national level, dating from World War II, but they've never taken the form that these are taking. That's the thing that you want for rice controls. If you think there's a sudden rush, the tradition of rice controls is that your historical prices have to stay for 6 months. That's not what she's talking about. She's talking about rollbacks, which is much more severe.
And isn't this an intention of the Harris administration to reach into housing? And
yes, that is certainly to do so, and maybe to try to strengthen federal regulation to change the rules on mortgages wholly apart from the subsidies in question. But this is a very big government administration, and all the mistakes that were made with Fannie and Freddie, 20 years ago, they're likely to repeat.
And what you will get is long lines. That's what happens when governments intervene.
That's the queuing issue with respect to 1971, and no doubt it will come again. And if grocery prices are capped, it would be an utter disaster. It's one thing to try to cap a single commodity like gasoline, where it's just plain stupid and destructive. But how do you put a cap on prices of hundreds of thousands of goods by different merchants, all tiny fractions of the market, where the price margins are very low? Rate regulation historically has always been in response to monopoly power, public utilities, power lines, and things like that. And there's no monopoly power in any of these stores there. Shares of the market by the standard antitrust measures are all minuscule. And to try to treat them as though these guys are perpetrators, what it just does is it kind of supports an anti-capitalist trope and is a kind of form of group defamation of every business in the United States. And when the guy from Target spoke out against it, that was heartfelt and it was correct. Think of this as a form of defamation of private businesses in an effort to increase here, there, and everywhere else the case for making stronger government regulation. And this by an administration which has signs of on freedom plastered everywhere inside the convention hall, when what they want to do is to take that freedom away in the economic sense.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, we'll turn to more remarks by the vice president, this time from the acceptance speech at the Democratic National Convention, our remarks about taxes. This is CBS Eye on the World with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports. The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.